Well, the agenda is absolutely heating up and barreling ahead. We now have countries telling their people that if they don't register their biometrics and link it to their banking, not only will their government services be suspended, but also their ability to bank altogether. This is an astronomical escalation in the move towards digital currency, digital ID, and the complete control system that comes with it. And mind you, it is happening across multiple nations. Dr. Kirk Elliott is joining us right now to give us an update. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you being here.
It is so good to be with you as usual, Maria.
We have some really, really crazy stuff to decide today. We have countries preparing to cut off your banking unless you register your biometrics. Oh my gosh, it's happening. Dr. Elliott, talk to us about this.
So this is, okay, so you and I have talked on previous shows about central bank digital currency and what that is going to mean for the world, right? So World Economic Forum, Bank for International Settlements, International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, they're all moving towards the central bank digital currency repository, which is going to hold all of your assets in digital form, but with the ugly caveat of, based on Dr. Pippa Malmgren and the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, is this money of yours is no longer yours under a unified ledger system where they tokenize all of your assets and they can switch ownership with the flip of a button, right? And it's like, what? And what would be the flip of the button? Your ideology.
Yeah,
I mean, that's it. This is where your digital social profile, your social credit score, all of these things are the buzzwords that people have been talking about for the last 2 years. This is why this is happening, right? Because they want to separate you from your money with the end result of complete people control, right? So that's the backdrop of central bank digital currency. Now, you can't have paper money in a central bank digital currency world, because their goal is to be able to monitor every single transaction in real time and test it against your ideology. Like we talked about, I think, on the last show that we did together, you could go to like a farmer's market or a grocery store, a gas station, and give them a $20 bill, and it's private. Nobody knows it was you that did it. Well, you can't control people if there's still paper currency then, so they need to move everything digital. Now, Kuwait, what you just referred to, is one country that is putting this whole thing on afterburner mode, right? On steroids, because now for you to access your bank account, you have to register your fingerprints, your biometric identification with the government, right? So now what does that mean? They were going to phase this in a little bit, right? So by the end of October, if you don't have your fingerprint, you know, basically registered to the government, they're going to cut you off from your basically credit cards. If you don't have it by December 1st, they're cutting you off from all of your bank accounts and from your brokerage accounts, right? But for some reason, this was accelerated because already in Kuwait, there's 60,000 people that don't have access to their bank accounts anymore.
Wow.
By December, they're expecting that to be 1 million people, because you consider the religious ideology of the Middle East, right?
Yep.
It's a Muslim population, Jewish population, Christian population, but pretty much predominantly Muslim in that area. Well, they don't like the absolute people control that comes from the digital banking world. And so this is why they're opposed to giving up their fingerprints.
Well, it's not just that. They actually believe in a mark of the beast too. So that's the other thing.
I know. They absolutely do. And so this is something that transcends religious boundaries. I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, or Jewish, or anything, right? It's like you are giving up control and privacy. And so you're basically saying, oh yeah, if I give my fingerprint, I basically am putting spyware in my bank account.
I mean, I want to show people, I actually want to take people through this, because this is just unbelievable how quickly this is accelerating. So This is biometricsupdate.com, rather. Kuwait prepares to halt services for unregistered biometrics. Take a look at this, ladies and gentlemen. Those in Kuwait failing to meet the deadlines for biometric registration will face suspension of government services. The Central Bank of Kuwait is also planning to implement phased restrictions on the bank accounts of individuals who do not comply with biometric registration requirements. And as Dr. Elliott was saying, the deadline is September 30, and for expatriates, it's December 30. So approximately 175,000 citizens and 800,000 expats still need to complete this procedure. Then you also have another one, Kuwait nears 2.5 biometric registrations, less than 36 remaining. So this is what I keep telling people, Dr. Elliott. They say, you know, I say you did really well resisting the COVID injections. You found another job. You were still able to have money. But when it comes to you don't have any money unless you register your biometrics, I think a lot of people will comply.
I sadly think so. So let's put it into this story format. Let's say that you are a God-fearing Christian. You read the Bible. You understand Revelation 13 is the mark of the beast, where it says no man, woman, or child can buy or sell unless they have the mark, right? So what I've been talking about for a year now is that central bank digital currency and that this is all about people control. This is it. And COVID was the test. COVID, I think, was a test to see how quickly would people give up their freedoms for health, right? So what's actually possibly one factor greater than your health? It would be the ability to buy or sell or get groceries or pay your rent or pay your utilities or anything.
Anything.
You can't live without you getting your bank accounts, right? So now they found out how quickly the world would buckle under the pressure of a global health emergency. Well, now you've got this coming up, and you know, what are their talking points, Maria? It's like, well, we can find the sex traffickers and the human traffickers and the drug traffickers and the money launderers and all this stuff if we know everything about you, the source of funds, the use of funds, all of that. So they're painting this glorious picture of how transparent and quick and life-changing digital money is going to be. But the ugly side of that is, let's say that you are a God-fearing Christian who understands what the mark of the beast is, but yet you come up with this moral dilemma, this ethical dilemma that says, hey, Jane Doe, if you don't actually sign up for the FedNow program, you don't sign up for the central bank digital currency, you don't get your Social Security. You won't get your Medicare, your Medicaid. You won't get any of the government services. And so how many people are going to say, well, wait, this is my only income. This is all I've got in retirement. What am I supposed to do? Starve or take this thing? And I think a lot of people are going to take it. And that article that you just referenced, it mentioned exactly that. Withholding of government services unless you give them your biometric identification. That's how it starts.
Yeah. The other thing that people may not realize is it's not just about, say, accessing your retirement services. You mentioned it before, rent, pay your rent, pay your bills. So you may say, okay, well, it doesn't matter. I own my home. Okay, how are you going to pay your electricity? How are you going to buy your groceries when all of these grocers only accept this type of, digital currency? Or not even that, they only accept, say, card payment, which a lot of people do. Cash is now obliterated because through the Know Your Customer program, the banks have said you can't let people withdraw money anymore. By the way, that's happening en masse. Especially in Australia. And so you have to switch to just using your card because that's the only way through, you know, we can protect fraud. That is actually happening with the Know Your Customer program. It's like they are actively pushing that all over the world. And so banks more and more are refusing people cash. Then stores are only allowed to use cash because that's the only way we can prevent fraud. And so it's like, you can't pay your bills. You can't pay your water. You can't pay your electricity. You can't buy food. What on earth are you going to do? And so as you've seen in Kuwait, even though there's been a lot of resistance, only 30% remaining to register.
I mean, so that's That's phase one, right? But look what's happening in Europe right now too. It's not the banking side of it, but it's travel, right? So as of I think 3 or 4 days ago, you know, when you travel internationally, and which you do a lot, right? You get your passport stamped when you enter the port of entry. Well, they're getting away with that, and they're going with biometric identification there too, to avoid, and you know, this is their positive messaging. Well, you know, if we need biometric identification, we're going to find any kind of illegal immigrants coming into Europe or America or wherever in the world, right? So this is where they say we can stop this kind of activity and the drains on society, on taxpayers' dollars, by not allowing people in unless they have a biometric identification. But you know what the flip side of that coin is? If you're in that country, they can just restrict your travel completely without biometric identification, right? There's always a flip side to every coin. And when you realize that the politicians doing this globally, this globalist agenda, is not about fixing a broken system, right? It's about people control. Because if you can control a person, you've got them at your beck and call forever, and people will willingly give up their freedoms in exchange for perceived security and peace, and sometimes comfort and ease. Right? It's like, oh yeah, this is super quick. And all I have to do is press this little button on my Apple computer and it's Apple Pay will pay for everything. I don't have to carry around a wallet. I don't have to do anything. Right? So for convenience, people give up their freedoms. This is what concerns me about this. And they've tested and tested and tested with various global health emergencies and things of that nature. But I think what's coming up next is actually the almost like an end game moment where, and they've told us it's like when the United Nations met at the Pact for the Future summit, they said we've got to be prepared for you know events happening in space, for black swan events, for a global health emergency, for a banking crisis, for all this stuff, right? And when crisis comes, this is where people start to give up their freedoms even more. And they've already telegraphed what's coming. And they've already told us what's going to happen. All you have to do is listen to a few speeches by Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. And they're not hiding in the shadows anymore, Maria. They're not, you know, using code words and cloak and dagger type stuff. They're just like, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to have these 15-minute cities where nobody can travel. And Kamala's saying that bragging about people with their free speech being obliterated and said, anybody who speaks some kind of a hate crime, and we determine what the hate crime is, you're going to be held accountable, right? They're going to silence any opposition. And so this is turning into like this big police state. And people are going to say, all right, fine, we want out. We just do whatever you're going to do with us, and we'll comply. This is where I see it's going. And this banking stuff that you're talking about today is first and foremost the easiest way. I mean, imagine if you want to force compliance in people, you don't need armed militia or National Guard or anything walking down the streets with submachine guns. You can do it much cleaner by just restricting people from their bank accounts.
Yes.
That will be the enforcement arm to their agenda, is access to your money. It's
Yes.
way easier and cleaner that way in their mind. I'm not saying I agree with this, right? I'm just saying in their mind, you don't need the ugly PR and light being cast on military and paramilitary and all this stuff when all you can do is flip a switch at a bank and you can control the masses.
You're absolutely right. And even though this is a staggered approach, you can see the countries racing to get this done by this year. I'm going to take people through a few more headlines. Ethiopia kicks off digital ID enrollment drive in Addis Ababa. Indonesia tests new digital ID system, calls on ASEAN to speed up defund negotiations. Colorado legislators wrangle laws on facial recognition in schools. Login.gov certified for IAL2 by Kantara with selfie biometrics addition. Neurotechnology adds palm biometrics to Mega Matcha criminal investigation software. Again, like you were saying, you know, this is going to help us take down criminals, fraudsters, so on and so forth. EU and Australia push to reshape online gambling regulation with digital wallets, biometrics, so on. So they're giving it, and I've been listening to them, Dr. Elliott. They're saying, oh, you know, this is going to help us with addiction. We need to help people. You know, the gambling epidemic is too serious in our country. This is how they do it. But it's not about that. Then they go, Karachi launches safe city project with live vehicle and facial recognition. Nigeria incorporating contactless fingerprints for online passport renewal. DPI is taking stage. That's digital public infrastructure as India's digital model is shaping global governance. And so, you know, without going through the weeds of every single one of these articles, you can see this is happening everywhere in lockstep. And America's now pushing for digital ID. There's a huge push in Congress. They want this done by next year.
They do want it done by next year. And, you know, I was just traveling last weekend. And I don't know if people who don't travel, they won't see this, but over the last 5 or 6 months, when you go through your TSA screening, you know, and you have the agent there that will look at your ID, they now have, you know, a camera that you look into it, that they validate it that way. It's like, and says, oh, as soon as you leave, your picture is going to be deleted. Don't worry about it. It's like, well, I kind of don't believe that. Right. So really, facial recognition at the airports for you to even get through security for everybody. I mean, this is happening right underneath our nose, and it's so sneakily being done that people don't actually view it as an issue. They view it as convenience. And this is going to be a problem, because when people are unaware, they will actually give up more than what they think, and in the end, it'll bite them.
Dr. Elliott, I'm seeing just, you know, in the last day, Elon's announced the self-driving taxis, fully autonomous taxis. Tesla's put out a thing about, you know, we're going to have so many car parks and it'll be more green. And, you know, I don't know whether Elon's intentions, I'm not going to pin, you know, a bad intention on him. A lot of technology advancements, and he's obviously a futurist and he's obviously, you know, a fan of all of this. A lot of technology advancements that people think, you know, are much needed right now. This is the way that humanity moves. I think it should be going the opposite way. But a lot of people see this. It's obviously a future industry. And so, you know, people are actually cheering this on, these self-driving vehicles, when we know Klaus Schwab has said, you know, Los Angeles, one day you won't actually drive yourself. You'll order your car, it'll come, and it'll be a self-driving car. And people are cheering it on. They're saying, oh, well, this is really great for pension for disabled people and pensioners and people that struggle to get around on their own. And it's like, it's always this cloaked under progress. And in fact, it's actually building the enslavement, the Optimus robot revelation. Elon says, oh, it can be your friend. It can help babysit your children. First of all, no, that's disgusting. I don't want a piece of metal babysitting my child. We've seen how destructive, yeah, you know, technology is on children, but that's just messed up, like super dystopian. And people are happy about it. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 hang on a second. This is not going in a good direction.
Well, let's take it even one step kind of sideways, not further, but sideways. So, you know, when we talk about solutions on how to get out of the system, you know, how do you not be a digital slave in their digital world? Well, you can't be a digit, right? So we've talked about like silver for barter or something like that, right? Just get out of the system, have something that's tangible and real. And a lot of times people say, well, Kirk, you like saying that there's going to be a zombie apocalypse and it's going to be terrible. And it's like, no, it's always better to prepare. If you're concerned about this, well, then do something to prepare. Well, you know who else is doing something to prepare? And it's not just a barter concept world, like an individual. It's Putin. So what did Russia do? So Russia, about 2.5 weeks ago, decided, you know what, with all these economic sanctions that are placed on Russia by America, we can't use the ruble, we can't use the dollar, but we still have to actually feed our country. You know, this is what Putin's thinking. He got this private courier, packed on a ton of gold on it, moved it over to Hong Kong, So they're now using gold for international settlements because they've had international sanctions put on their currency, right? So what is that? That's barter on a countrywide scale. And everyone thinks, well, that's genius. It's like, okay, get away from the sanctions, whether you like Putin or not, right? He's doing what he's going to do to protect his country. But you know what? He's using gold as currency because he had sanctions put on him. Now let's individualize that to us. What would our sanctions be? Well, what if we give to a church that the globalist elite don't like? What if we donate to a political party they don't like? What if we eat a kind, certain kind of food like meat and they want us to eat bugs or vegetables, right? Or whatever, right? And so those are like individualized sanctions on us. We have to do what Putin did, and he got rid of the sanctions slapped on Russia by using gold as currency. Now, he did one other thing 3 days ago, and this is fascinating to me. So there isn't a country on the planet who actually uses silver as a reserve because it's too cheap. That's $32 an ounce. When you hear about central banks backing up their currency with gold, you know, China, tens of thousands of tons of gold, the European Union, 10,500 tons of gold, Russia, 1,000 tons, India, 600 tons. They always use gold. Well, what Putin decided to do was add to their strategic ruble reserves, which they have 1,000 tons of gold, they decided to add silver as well. It's like, what? There's not enough silver on the planet to help back a currency, right? So here's where he is doing on a country level what we're talking about. And what we've been talking about for a long time is get out of that digital system, back up your currency with tangible assets, because this is coming at us like a juggernaut. We're not going to escape it, but we have to learn to survive within it, if that makes any sense. And this is where allocating into tangible assets does make sense, because it gets you out of the system. Now, when you've got countries that actually poo-poo, for lack of a better technical term, owning gold and silver, right? It's like, oh, that's an ancient relic. You shouldn't do that. We can control the economy and modify it with, you know, fiscal policy and monetary policy and this and that. And yet at the same, out of the other side of the mouth, they're actually buying what they're telling us not to buy.
Yes.
Right. And when Russia is buying that much silver, that's going to create supply chain disruptions, low supply or no supply, high demand, and prices start to go through the ceiling. So all of this horrible stuff, Maria, that we're talking about today, mark of the beast, biometric identification of you, the ability to restrict your travel or where you go or how to spend and why. And I mean, all of that's like, it's just dark, right? It's not a fun thing to talk about, but there's solutions. And that's where I get excited, because we don't have to live in that world, even though we live in that world.
Well, Dr. Elliott, just this week, I was on like a local trading website or a local advertising website. And, you know, it's people from the area selling certain things. And I am seeing people saying, we'll accept payment in gold or silver. This, again, is me recently meeting a farmer who told me the same. People are starting to get it. People are starting to prepare. And so I dare say that those 30% who still haven't signed up to this in Kuwait are people that have prepared to survive outside of this system. They're people who have heeded the warnings of people like you for the past few years and said, right, I need to establish relationships with my local communities. I need to have, you know, we need to organize a system for ourselves. And the system that we're going to use is something that never loses its value, a time-tested, proven strategy that has worked since the dawn of man. And that is gold and silver.
It is. And so, okay, so that's the solution. But why did we know that we were going to need a solution? Because they told us that we were going to need a solution like a year ago. So a year ago in Tianjin, China, when the basically BRICS nations met, and then the United Nations is meeting, and they said, okay, in September of this year, which just passed, right? It's like they just had their meeting. The BRICS nations did, and the United Nations had their Pact for the Future kind of in conjunction with all of that. That was basically going to be the megaphone horn to the world saying, this is everything we've been working on. Central bank digital currency, biometric identification for you and your bank accounts, the ability to cut you off from your money and be able to monitor all these nefarious transactions through a unified ledger and changing ownership on your accounts and all these like sustainable cities and 15-minute cities. This was all part of the UN's Pact for the Future. A year ago, they said that they were going to have this meeting at the end of September, and they did. And in that, is big part of that was biometric identification of you to your bank accounts to avoid theft and data theft and things like that. See, that's the nice side of the message. So is it any coincidence that all of those articles that you shared with us came 2 weeks after this meeting?
That's
No,
right.
they announced it a year ago that this was going to happen. And so when you can identify the source like you do amazing research, you look at the source documents, you look at what these agenda makers are doing, and they build the timeline. We just give people adequate warning so they can jump off the tracks before the train hits them. And so new listeners are thinking, what is this crazy stuff that Maria's talking about and Kirk's talking about? No, we're just reporting what they said they were going to do a year ago
Correct.
and longer, and it's now happening.
It is now happening. And so I am talking a lot more, with people on the ground here in Central Texas, and they are all preparing for this. Like, I'm serious that I don't know if people in other countries realize how serious this is, if people all across America realize how serious this is, but the local communities that I've seen and spoken with are actually all preparing for this. They are buying gold, they are buying silver, they are, working out a barter system between themselves. They are really preparing to survive outside of this system, and people need to be doing that. I don't care if who you support next for president, but even if President Trump, despite the fact they don't want him in, manages to get in, this is going to eventually hit the shores at some point. And now what's happening is the US is trying to rush this through before the election. I don't know if they'll be successful with digital ID, but they want it. And my concern, Dr. Elliott, and I've been very open about this, is that the solution to the mass immigration problem may end up being digital ID as well, right? So there are a myriad of reasons why this may be introduced into the US, but it's coming. And so people need to prepare. KEPM.com/Maria is where people need to go today. Please tell people about your rates. This is why we've partnered with you, apart from the fact that we have a friendship and we trust you. But tell people about your rates and the process. I ask you every time, but just go through it quickly for everyone, please.
Yeah, so real quickly, you see, if you watch podcasts all over the country, you're going to see all kinds of different options, from rare stuff to semi-rare stuff to storied things and collectibles. None of that is good, in my opinion. It's all garbage. Really, what you want is just bullion. Low cost, low premium, maximize your ounces, minimize your cost, bullion. Because you don't have to make a market for it. It's a global commodity used for manufacturing and silver. It's just flip of a switch and you buy it, right? So flip is a switch and you sell it. Now, how we operate transactionally is when you liquidate, everyone's going to want to lock in their profits and sell down the road. We charge zero, zero. Whenever the depository is paying for metals on that date, you get all of it. When you purchase it, it's 8% cost of ownership. So that tells you basically what your break even is. Unlike somebody who makes a commission when you come and when you go, and then it's like, wow, this is expensive when something's growing. Zero is zero on the back end. Now, you can do it with just money you have in the bank, brokerage accounts. You can also own physical metals in an IRA. So the next steps would be if you say, yeah, I want to do this. I want to get out of the system. I want to protect and preserve. You give us a call, 720-605-3900, and say Maria sent you, or you go to KEPM.com/Maria, and you'll meet with one of my schedulers. They'll ask you some questions, put you on with one of my consultants, who will dig in deep into your concerns, your dreams, your fears, your goals, your aspirations, and design a strategy moving forward using tangible assets to protect and preserve so you can thrive. We're very communication people oriented. To me, it's going to sound silly, but the transactions are meaningless to me. It's the life that happens in between those that I care about, because that communication in the midst of the storm is going to bring peace, and that's what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I cannot emphasize the importance of this. People need to prepare now. This is like we have a few weeks left until the election. They've just put out that they've expanded the military powers of the US to use lethal force against civilians. They are stoking civil war. They are purposely crushing the existing system. They are doing everything in their power to set us up for a situation that is going to be very difficult to get through if people do not have alternatives to the system. So, your food, your water, have a bug out bag, have your supplies in there, have things that you will possibly not be able to buy once this all goes belly up. Have them now. People say, well, I'm just trying to get by. It's like it's going to be even harder to get by if you don't prepare now, because then you're locked in and you are forced to operate within their system. We just have such a short time before next year. This is like every country is trying to do it. Australia is trying to finalize the mis and disinfo bill, and of course the opponents just come out, the opposition leaders just come out and said, well, we're not going to go forward with the mis and disinformation bill because of all the backlash. And that's all well and good, but believe you me, this guy gets elected tomorrow, he's revisiting. Like, this is just it's barreling forward. And so again, kepm.com/Maria, or give them a call on 720-605-3900. You can put in your details on the website. One of their specialists will get in touch with you and just take action now, because this is coming like a bullet train, Dr. Elliot, and we've got to be ready with our local people. We've got to educate the people around us. Guys, it's time to figure out an alternative economic system now. Now.
Amen.
That's it, right? That's it. Just
Yeah.
that's it. Dr. Kirk Elliott, really, really grateful for your time today and for this update. We'll obviously be speaking with you again very, very soon. We appreciate you coming on so often to talk to us about this, because it's moving so quickly. Thank you again. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you all for tuning in today, folks, and for taking your future seriously. Again, the website for our US viewers is kepm.com/Maria. If you're watching this from Australia, head to our partners at Gold Bullion Australia Group. The link is in the description below. Do not delay. Precious metals prices are just shooting up, so take advantage while you still can, and consider securing your wealth and your future today.